You're listening to a Frequency Podcast Network production.
If there is one group that was failed by all levels of government during this pandemic, it's been seniors. There really shouldn't be any argument about this. The numbers make it horribly clear, and the stories that emerged from these facilities during the pandemic drove that home in awful detail.
Significant gross fecal contamination was noted in numerous patient rooms. Forceful feeding observed by staff causing audible choking and aspiration. Patients observed crying for help with staff not responding for 30 minutes to over 2 hours.
So it's not a surprise that all parties are promising to do more for Canada's seniors. The difference between them is how specific they are willing to get. Healthcare is a difficult topic to get into during federal campaigns because it inevitably ends up in a debate about provincial versus federal jurisdiction. But does it have to? What are some things that can be done by these parties to make sure that what we saw in long-term care last year never happens again? What can be done to keep seniors out of long-term care facilities in the first place? And how much of these promises are actually achievable? Because it does take guts to stand outside a long-term care provider's head office and threaten to buy it and run it federally.
We are saying clearly that we would nationalize Revera.
But can Jagmeet Singh actually do that? And is anybody else willing to step up and offer a clear example? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is The Big Story. Andre Picard is an award-winning health reporter for the Globe and Mail. He is also the author of Neglected No More, The Urgent Need to Improve the Lives of Canada's Elders in the Wake of a Pandemic. Hey, Andre.
Good morning.
So far in this campaign, have you been pleasantly surprised, unpleasantly surprised, or just not surprised at all with the level of attention being paid to elder care policy so far?
I'd have to say I'm disappointed more than anything else, not surprised, but disappointed at how little discussion there's been, particularly given what happened with COVID. You know, there was really a massacre in our long-term care homes. We've had about 27,000 COVID deaths in Canada, and 18,000 of those were in long-term care. So there's some real serious changes that are required, and there's been very cursory discussion about this from all the parties.
Can you maybe begin by contextualizing the issue for Canadians? What is the scale of elder care needed in Canada, and how is that need increasing?
Well, you know, we have about 400,000 Canadians in institutional care, so mostly long-term care facilities, some retirement-type facilities. It's one of the highest rates in the world. So what we do is we tend to default when people get a little older and have mobility issues. We default them into institutions where they don't really want to be, and we really underinvest in home care and community support. So very different from a lot of countries in the world. So it's a really fundamental change that needs to happen. And I think the pandemic reminded us just how dangerous life can be in these congregate settings, especially when a novel virus comes along, and also reminded us that life there is not always great. People are isolated, they're alone, unhappy. So there's a lot of fundamentals that have to change.
And we're going to talk about long-term care during the pandemic in a sec, but just in general, we have an aging population. Do we even have space to take care of elderly Canadians as that number goes up?
Well, there's about 40,000 people on wait lists for spaces right now across Canada. So that answers the question, no, we don't have enough room.
Yes.
But the larger question is, should people be there in the first place? Mm-hmm. I think a large number of people shouldn't be there in the first place. They should be in their homes, and they're there because there is an adequate home support.
So I know your book addresses this need in light of the pandemic, but let's just say for a second that there was no pandemic. Would we still be facing a crisis in elder care in Canada?
Oh, there's been a crisis for many years, and the pandemic, all it has done is really shone a bright spotlight on how urgent it is to change this. But no, this issue I've been writing about for 30, almost 40 years now, and it's just gotten worse year by year as the population ages, as our system underfunds the care of elders generally.
What has it been like for you over the past year and a half reporting this book and speaking directly? So one of the reasons we're talking to you, I'll just say, is we put out a call for what issues do we need to inform our listeners about to help guide their votes. And this was a high one on the list. And a lot of stories came in about just hearing heartbreaking stories or experiencing heartbreaking stories. And I guess the year and a half for you has been filled with these stories.
Yeah, these are devastating stories. And, you know, I like to remind people we're all going there. We're all going to be caregivers. We're all going to be care receivers at some point in our lives. And many of us a lot sooner than we expect. So this matters to us personally. It should matter to us as a society. I think, you know, I think Canadians believe that the most vulnerable in society should be taken care of. And that's what this population is. Frail elders, there's very few people in society who are more vulnerable. So we owe them a debt in many ways, and we're not fulfilling that promise to take care of people. That's really the promise of Medicare, is no one will be denied essential care when they need it. And once you get out of the hospital system, you're not given care in any degree that you need it. So there's a fundamental flaw there in our system, in our political promises.
I'm going to get into those political promises in just a second, but maybe to help us understand the ground we're talking about here. This is something I've been asked a few times, and I'm still not sure that I have it clear. When it comes to looking after long-term care facilities or programs that would help seniors or the home care that we're discussing, how much of that can federal parties actually step in and implement or execute, and how much is just not their jurisdiction?
Well, you know, there are jurisdictional issues. You can't have a discussion in Canada about healthcare without talking about the Constitution. But my answer to that is always the same, is that there's no constitutional impediment to cooperation. And that's what we need more than anything. We need the federal government and the provinces to be on the same page and say, we're going to fix this and we're going to do whatever it takes to fix it. There's a lot of hiding behind jurisdiction. So overall, in healthcare, the role of the federal government is largely to provide some funding. And they can do that, and it's up to the provinces to act. The big political question becomes, does funding come with strings attached? Can the federal government say, you have to spend this on long-term care, or does funding have to go with no strings attached? That's really the only question that the federal parties have to ask, and then they have to provide some guidance and express their beliefs and hope that the provinces will align on that. And I don't think there's actually any fundamental disagreement on this. Every party believes that we should take care of our elders. The question is just how to do it. And those are really technical issues that are easily worked out.
Well, let's talk about what each of the main parties are saying then. What's the Conservative platform on elder care?
Well, the Conservative platform is largely, you know, their philosophical belief is that healthcare is a provincial responsibility. So mostly their view is hands off. They've provided a promise of funding for specific infrastructure upgrades. But their overall platform that matters here is that they want to provide more money to the provinces. So a 6% a year escalator to overall funding, and then a belief that the provinces will spend this wisely, probably on long-term care, among other things. So that's a basic philosophical difference, but not a lot of really detailed promises, because they don't feel it's the role of the federal government to do that.
So that is the no strings attached policy you just mentioned, basically.
Yeah, and they're very clear on that philosophy, and that's a perfectly acceptable political stand. And, you know, other parties think differently.
What about the Liberals then?
Well, the Liberals have made the most detailed promises. They've promised $9 billion for long-term care, most of that to support staffing. So they've promised a $25 minimum wage for personal support workers. You have to remember, in some provinces, they get as little as $13 an hour. So that would be a big change. Mm. They've promised money for training 50,000 personal support workers, which is certainly needed. But again, the question is, how much can they do this? These are all provincial responsibilities. So the question is, can they put strings on that money? And there's been some examples of the federal government doing that, but they've not been overly successful in putting strings on. So lots of promises, but lack of clarity on what they can do exactly.
Just because I'm curious, since the height of the crisis of COVID in long-term care facilities, obviously there are still outbreaks happening, but things have calmed down now. Since that ended, have the Liberals done anything leading up to this campaign that they can point to and say, we're working on this?
They've not done a lot. There were some promises in the last budget. There was $3 billion to bring in standards. So a lot of people think that if we have basic standards of care, like guaranteeing 4 hours of hands-on care, for example, for everyone in long-term care, that would be a help. But no, they haven't done a lot. As you said, people have stopped dying in massive numbers. So we seem to have forgotten what happened, unfortunately. Now, I think the really worrisome thing is we're starting to see deaths creep up again in long-term care homes as the Delta variant comes in. As mm-hmm. you know, as cases rise in the community, people who are the most vulnerable are going to be those who die. And even if they're doubly vaccinated, these are a very high-risk population.
Is there anything planned, and now I'm digressing a little bit before we get to the NDP, but I really want to know, is there anything planned to stem that number rising again? Is this where vaccine mandates come into play?
Yeah, absolutely. This, you know, the mandatory vaccination of healthcare workers has kicked in many provinces. That's really important. But it all comes down to controlling the spread in the community. The less illness there is spreading, the less risk there is to people who are at high risk. So it's a pretty fundamental thing. What people are fearful of is seeing these lockdowns again. The lockdowns of long-term care homes have been very, very harmful to people living there. They've protected them to a certain degree from COVID, not too much, but they've really caused isolation and loneliness, and people are literally dying of loneliness in these homes during the pandemic as well. So it's not a clear trade-off, do one or the other.
Maybe this is a good time to ask about the NDP plan, because of the little that I know about it, I know that it at least proposes some ambitious changes to long-term care.
Yeah, so the NDP has promised more fundamental changes. Like they've said, they want to end private ownership of long-term care facilities. So that would be a big change, especially in a province like Ontario, where almost half of homes are privately owned. So less so in other provinces, but that's a fundamental change that would occur under an NDP government. Again, the question is, can they do that? Mm-hmm. I guess they can do it by controlling funding. They've talked a lot about, obviously, the NDP is a party of labor, so they've talked a lot about livable wages for personal support workers, livable income for nurses, standards of care. So a lot of big ticket promises, but not a lot of detail from the NDP.
We played a clip in the intro of Jagmeet Singh standing outside of Rivera and promising to nationalize it. And, you know, when you say, can they do this? Like, how big of an ask is that? That it sounds like a ton of money. It sounds incredibly complicated logistically, but I guess they've done it with other industries, right?
Yeah, it's been done. We've nationalized many years ago, huge oil companies to create Petro-Canada. We've nationalized things in Canada. We nationalized doctors, essentially, in the 1960s. So it's doable. My concern is it's a simplistic solution to a complex problem. So I like the approach more of there's an Ontario inquiry into long-term care homes in the first wave. And they had a really interesting proposal where they said, we should get rid of privatization of care. So the care should always be provided by nonprofits, but it doesn't matter who owns the building. You know, one of the fundamental problems with long-term care is that we have real estate investors who are providing care, and they don't want to do it. They don't make money off it. They make money off the real estate and the rent. So if you separate those two things, to me, that's a much easier solution to implement, and it reaches the same goal.
Is that something you've heard discussed at all in the campaign?
Unfortunately, there's not anywhere near that sophistication of debate. It's really largely rhetorical debate, you know, private bad, public good, we're going to help seniors live better. It's pretty vague. There's not a lot of detailed discussion, unfortunately, of these topics.
Why do you think that is? I mean, to your point earlier, this is a huge majority of the COVID deaths, and it cast a big spotlight on just how bad it was. I'm sure everybody remembers some of the awful stories that we heard when health workers went into some of these places. It seems like this is something, especially people attacking the Liberals, maybe might want to dig into.
Yeah, I think it goes back to a larger question is why do we have so little discussion of healthcare in general on the campaign trail? And I think it goes back to there's a famous quote from Joey Smallwood, who is the premier of Newfoundland, who once said, "I've never had a discussion about healthcare that didn't lose me votes." Hmm. And that's how politicians think. This is not a vote winner. This is a vote loser. So we get very little discussion of any healthcare topic. We saw a little flurry at the beginning of the campaign about, you know, private care bad, private care good. And that's about it. I don't think Canadians actually vote based on healthcare issues. Healthcare is important to us as a nation, as people. But when we get into that ballot box, we tend to vote on things like the economy, on leadership, quirky things, and not the big picture. So it's understandable that politicians don't tackle this because they see it as almost sticking their finger on the third rail and getting electrocuted.
This might be a dumb question, but do you think any of it has to do with the fact that younger people, middle-aged people, voters don't like to think of themselves in this situation needing care, and it's unpleasant to consider, and that's why they don't engage with this issue?
I don't think it has to do too much with that. I think increasingly people recognize that this matters to them regardless of their age. Every party this election is going to revolve around middle-class suburban voters, so-called soccer mums. Nobody cares about this issue more than soccer mums because they're the sandwich generation. They're right. Caring for their kids. They're caring for their elderly parents and in-laws. There's a lot of interest in this topic. But again, the politicians know that if they start engaging in that, they're just going to get angry response. They're never going to be able to satisfy what people want. So they choose to not talk about it at all. And that's true of every party.
The last thing I want to ask you about with regards to the parties in the election, but maybe also just in general, is how are we looking out for healthcare workers, and I guess specifically personal care workers here, because I know, you know, we've done stories about how they've been quitting in droves and it's really hard to sign up new ones. And this is a looming crisis as well, right?
Oh, this is the number one issue in healthcare today is the labor shortages. Personal support workers, nurses, we're seeing physicians leave. People are leaving in droves. This is work that was already difficult, understaffed, and the pandemic just piled on. And the straw that's breaking a lot of people's backs is these protests. You know, imagine you've been working 18 months full out, seeing people die every day in your ward, and then you walk out and people spit on you and call you horrible names because you believe in vaccination. That's driving people over the edge. We really have to talk about the labor crisis. Again, it's something the parties haven't really tackled in a detailed way, but this is going to have an impact on every single one of us for many years to come. Our wait lists are going to get longer. We're not going to be able to get physician appointments. We won't get places in long-term care. This is going to have a ripple effect that I don't think people have a sense of how bad it's going to get yet.
Well, when you look at that shortage and you look at what has or hasn't been done to improve safety in long-term care homes and everything else that's kind of been on the menu since the last wave receded, what do you think about and what do you hear about this fall and this winter for our elderly population?
Well, it's going to be another very difficult fall and winter. We're seeing the fourth wave is picking up steam. As I mentioned before, elders are becoming more vulnerable again because we know, you know, vaccines work, but they don't work 100%, and they work more poorly in older people with chronic conditions. So this is, again, a vulnerable population, and we're starting to see the deaths creep up again. Hopefully we won't see what we saw in the first wave, you know, hundreds of people in a single home, but we're going to see the numbers climb, and that's really tragic.
Last question for the listeners who did reach out to us saying, this is my voting issue. What can you tell them to look out for over the next couple of weeks as the election looms? What will you be watching out for?
Well, I'm going to be watching for what we talk about in the debates. The debates are going to be really crucial, the French language, English language debates. How much of those will be dedicated to healthcare? Again, traditionally, very little There's very little discussion of healthcare. I think it's going to have to be on the agenda this time, especially long-term care. Disability has become a big issue. Remember that essentially everyone who lives in a long-term care facility has a severe disability, or maybe five of them. So this disability, long-term care are going to be issues. And I think someone has an opportunity here to make a mark in the debate. The final thing I'd say to listeners is you have to decide, is this the make or break issue for you? When you go into that ballot box, are you going to pick a party based on your belief that they're going to improve life for your elders, for your grandparents and your parents? And not many people make that decision in the ballot box. And if they do, the politicians will listen and they'll pay attention if they think that's going to happen.
Andre, thank you so much as always for your time and your wisdom.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Andre Picard of the Globe and Mail, also the author of Neglected No More, which you can find in bookstores now. That was The Big Story. For more from us, head to thebigstorypodcast.ca. We have a special page on there now, just for our elections episodes. There will be more coming soon, where we examine detailed policy on a wide variety of topics. You can also talk to us on Twitter at TheBigStoryFPN or in our email, TheBigStoryPodcast, all one word, at rci.rogers.com. You can, of course, leave a rating, leave a review, tell a friend, hit follow, hit like, hit subscribe, whatever you want to do with The Big Story Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.